This episode is brought to you by Baron Fig. Find out more at mofonepodcast.com/Baron Fig.
Hey, this is Josh Holtzclaw, graphic artist at Pixar, and you are listening to the Master of One podcast. And you can check out my work at bigfriendco.com.
Welcome to this Sandbox episode of the Master of One podcast, part two for this week. This week we talk to artist and product designer Dan Duarte. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
So unsheath your swords and unholster your pencil, because it's time to battle.
I'm going
to
use a pen.
Baron Fig continues their trend of creating quality products by the community and for the community with their new minimal backpack, messenger bag, and tote bag. Adding to their lineup of tools for thinkers, these bags each feature innovative design and the same quality construction you've come to expect from their notebooks and writing tools. The Kickstarter, complete with exclusive items only available through the campaign, is live now, so go pick up yours today. So for this Sandbox episode, we are excited to talk to somebody who is the founder of Mightier Than Co., lover of hip-hop and tacos, product creator and designer. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Dan Duarte to the show.
Yeah, what's up, guys? Thank you for having me.
That was good, but how would a non-white person say your name?
I think they might say Dan or Daniel Duarte.
Oh gosh! Oh,
so it's Dan. It's Danielle.
Yeah.
Danielle.
I had to write it up a little bit with the Dan. But okay.
So Dan, we're excited to chat with you. We met up with you at Creative South, and initially we were going to do an interview in person, but you know, sometimes just the best laid plans don't work out. So we are here via the internets, and we are ready to chat it up. So why don't you tell everybody who you are and what you do. Give us the Wikipedia page about you.
Dan Duarte, product designer, illustrator, and communicator based here in Orlando, Florida. My work ranges from traditional graphic design all the way up to UX and user interface design. Like you mentioned, I'm the founder of Mightier Than Co., which is a little personal project I have. I started last year. Really is basically an experiment that I wanted to start to design some shirts, pins, and patches really geared towards other designers and other creative individuals. I know everyone's familiar with the old adage that the pen is mightier than the sword, the old quote from Edward Brighton, but essentially says, you know, words more powerful than violence, which is very true. However, in this case, we want to celebrate all creative individuals. So really any tool that you're using to create can be mightier than the sword, whether it's a pen or the digital pen tool that we use in Illustrator, or maybe you're a writer or a comedian or a rapper or a lover of hip hop. So pretty much any creative tool you want to use, we sort of celebrate that at Mightier Than Co. And that's a little bit about my experimental project. And you guys saw me at Creative South. So you saw the booth we had set up.
That's right.
Which was really our first time getting out in public. We've had the online store going for probably 8 months at that time. And it was doing very well. But we're like, okay, let's really bring this to the audience that it was intended for. So being at Creative South, I was just so blown away by the amount of support that we received from everyone there, that they sort of recognized me from Instagram and social media. And they said, wow, I follow you. Now you're here. Oh my God, I have to buy a shirt or a pin. So we were super blown away. We sold out of a bunch of stuff, even on day one, to the point where we had to come back to Orlando and fulfill pre-orders for about the next week and a half. Yeah,
that's really great. Well, we had heard about you beforehand as well. In fact, I might get my timeline confused, but I think around the time we talked to Mr. Stay Great Pony Boy, we were looking at one of your pins then. So I think that would have been maybe early January. So the word had definitely gotten around. But yeah, just great stuff. So your aesthetic, I think what I'm reminded of, and please keep in mind, I am not the designer of the group, but it reminds me of like this classic tattoo style, like a lot of this stuff. Well, how about you describe, since I'm not good at it, what your aesthetic is?
Yeah, I'd say that's pretty close. We draw an inspiration from of course, contemporary graphic design, but I'm a huge lover of traditional tattoos and that whole look. So we tie that into some of our designs, as well as just vintage lettering and vintage packaging altogether. I have a huge collection of matchbooks that I have here at the house. And nice. Just old packaging and lettering like that just really gets me going. The traditional tattoo stuff is totally on point. And those have been pretty popular so far. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, Patrick, you did a good job. That's how I would have described it. Patrick,
I feel like I needed one more. I needed like one more like adjective or something. I panicked. That was like all I had.
Like, take it. So for anybody who's not currently sitting in front of a computer and able to look at this and they're not familiar with your work right away, just think of kind of, I think you said it well with the blending of current modern graphic design with the what's the word I'm looking for, the tendency to trend toward like vintage flat, like tattoo flash. It's very, very cool. But a lot of the stuff that you do focuses specifically on not just like skulls and anchors and I Heart Mom and that kind of thing, but it all has a very focused intention, which I think you said at the beginning of this is to focus
exactly,
on the creative.
Exactly. Right? I think more times than not, you'll see the sword sort of challenging the pen in a lot of our artwork. And yeah, again, it just goes back to the idea that there's a balance. There's always going to be a balance in life and work and the world. And not to get too political with any of the messaging behind some of that was intended for the initial quote, I really think it's just that sort of dichotomy of human beings and everything. Now I'm going yeah. way too deep, but there's always there's the bright and the dark, and there's always that balance. So if we can use our creative energies towards the good, then why not?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So I want to know, diving back a little bit into your history, what does your training look like? Like at what point did you start doing this graphic design stuff? And were you a kid who always was drawing and all of those kinds of things? I know before we started recording, and we'll get to it, you mentioned being a big lover of hip hop and rap battles and things. And trust me, that's going to come up. But where does the graphic design and the drawing, like where does that come from?
Sure. So definitely was a creative kid growing up. Drew a lot, was inspired by my family and my dad, who's a structural engineer, and he was always drawing or sketching something. So I sort of picked up the habits there early on. I think I lost it sometime in my adolescence, because by the time I decided to go to school, I was focused on business. And then I realized, like, this sucks. I'm not passionate about this at all. But I had a pirated version of Photoshop that I got from a friend who needed some help designing a poster, a flyer for this hip hop event he was throwing. So I just started toying around with it and sort of sat there and forced myself to learn it, and was completely self-taught for a number of years, but just learned something about myself that I have, you know, that I can sit in front of something for a while and just teach it to myself. And I did that with video software,
sure,
and prototyping software, and Photoshop, of course, and even audio engineering software with some of my music background. But ultimately, I was able to make a living freelancing, being self-taught. But I got to the point where I kind of wanted to work in digital a little bit, and I realized I'd probably have to go back to school at that point. So 2009, I went to Florida Atlantic University, got my, you know, Bachelor of Fine Arts, specifically in graphic design. And then, yeah, that's really been my focus ever since then.
So, okay, so that's very interesting because there's a bit of a debate. Now, I'm in the technical sphere, actually, so I'm a developer, but I think I see it on both sides. A bit of the, do you go into school, do you not go into school, do you just do the self-taught thing or find a mentor? So talk about making that decision and how you feel that's benefited you.
Totally.
On this
side. Yeah, there was... there was a point where I was doing okay with freelance, but it got a little slow. So I went into a creative staffing agency to see if they could find me a full-time gig. And at that point, I thought I knew it all. I'm like, oh, I'm a whiz on Photoshop. I'm like, I could make anything happen. But what I didn't realize I was lacking was just learning design traditionally and learning about layout and composition and color and the foundation that
right.
we all need as artists or creatives. So when I showed him my portfolio, and the portfolio was a mess. I mean, I walked in there with like a CDR with Sharpie marker on top, like Dan's greatest hits. And I mean, I'm embarrassed to tell this.
Listen to my mixtape.
I don't know. That seems kind of like your style.
I handed it over. He pops it in the old CD drive and in, and we looked at the work, and it's just – it's probably good technically. It shows that I can use the software properly, but it was probably all over the place, and there was no way I can really work in any sort of in-house creative department or agency. Just too rough around the edges at that point. I hadn't fine-tuned myself. But he – man, he brought me down to ground level real quick. He's like, you know, I can see you got some skill, but you need to just work on the presentation. You can't – you got to come in here with a book. You know, show me some printed work. Show me some design systems. Show me some typography. It's really fundamental stuff. And I've got all this whiz-bang hip-hop show posters that I think are just the best thing in the world. But it was really that point where I decided to turn around and say – if I really want to make this my career, I'm going to have to do it the right way.
Do you have a specific, I guess, piece of instruction or like a focus in school that you would say has benefited you the most or influenced your work the most?
That's a good question. I really think through it all, you kind of just go through a series of just sort of ups and downs and opportunities to learn. So regardless if it was just sort of just one piece, it's really just a series of falling flat on your face, learning the lesson, then picking yourself back up. And having such a self-taught yeah. background and just DIY between music and everything else, for me, that's the best on-job training you can ever have, sort of going through that and bootstrapping things together, regardless of what you're trying to sell. But that even comes in handy every day in my job now, just when it comes to communicating or talking or presenting to anyone. You've already sort of worn all the hats at some point. Sort of tie all those skills together makes it a lot easier. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but...
No, it's good stuff, yeah. Like, recovering from... these mini failures or defeats or whatever, that's hugely important. I mean, so in my work, I would say, well, there are quotes floating out there and people have said this better than me and all that kind of stuff. But just this idea of that you learn a lot more from your failures and your successes. And it's very important to start failing as quickly as you can. That way you can get the experience under your belt and carve that pathway towards
being
successful.
I totally agree. And even just that first tale of going into the creative staffing agency was just the first one. You know, once I got in school and I decided to really put all my focus into this, you know, then portfolio review comes around and it's sort of the same situation. Like, okay, let me show some of this past work that I've done. And it may not be exactly what the professors were looking for. And it wasn't, because I'll never forget. I'm like, okay, submit my portfolio, and I'm waiting for the responses, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to do best. I'm going to have best in show. There's no way anyone's going to have better work than me. And then I have like all ones at a scale of 1 to 5.
Oh,
and then I'm like,
gosh.
But what's wrong with this? Like, and I just didn't understand. They wanted someone with the, like, that can really show the fundamentals that they were teaching. And I automatically just wanted to go off and do my own thing. So when it came around the very next year, I'm like, I'm going to knock this out of the park and give them exactly what they want. And that's what happened. And then I got Best in Show. And then they gave me a scholarship for it. And then I became president of my graduating class and this graphic design student organization there. And like, I needed to sort of fall down super hard in the beginning to like really use that as my motivator to turn it around. Cause by the time I went back to school, I was a little older. So I'm like, okay, I'm already sort of behind in my career here. But sure. I was able to sort of tap into this unknown leadership quality that I didn't even realize that I had. But yeah.
Okay. So I want to take us back to before school. You know, you said you were teaching yourself graphic design, doing some stuff for hip hop show posters. Before we started talking officially, you mentioned battle rapping and like loving hip hop. And I mentioned, do you know King of the Dot? And you said, yes.
Yeah.
I think you might be the only person in this sphere that knows what that means. So can you say a little bit about what that is? And just definitely enlighten these guys.
King of the Dot, man. That sounds like an iOS.
It's, okay. So King of the Dot, is essentially a competitive battle rap league on YouTube. It's based in Toronto, Canada, where that's where the word T-Dot comes from. That's, I guess, a slang name for Toronto. So King of the Dot, oh man, they've probably been around for about 7 or 8 years at this point. And I used to be involved in a little bit of competitive battle rap myself, and I worked for a local league that was based here in Orlando called Grind Time. Okay. If you're familiar with the history of battle rap, you'll know that Grind Time used to be like the NFL or the NBA for battle rap. And it fell apart years later, but I knew –
a lot of concussions.
You know, there's only so much mom jokes that one can take before they bow out.
But I do. Yeah. Was that what it 90% was?
In the beginning, yeah. And it can be like super just derogatory to every race or sexuality, which is not good. And I'm glad that it's sort of turned away from that a little bit. But it's no holds barred, and people will – they'll say whatever it takes to sort of break you down. So an example, if people know battle rap, you might be familiar with 8 Mile, right? So that's sort of old battle.
Oh, yeah.
Who's
Sir
great,
Eminem.
But the game has sort of evolved since then. So what used to be like just freestyle battle raps where you'd get two guys on stage with a beat and a mic and maybe you hadn't seen him before, but you certainly didn't know you were going to battle him. So you're sort of forced to improv everything. Nowadays, what they do is they'll set these matches up like a month or two in advance, like an MMA fight, and you got time to research your guy, you're writing all your rhymes, and you're sometimes coming up with some very personal material to offend him, essentially. And it's a debate because there are no beats and there are no mics at that point. You're really just screaming poetry at another man.
Yeah. So have you?
I did that once, but I didn't get a prom date out of it.
So have you heard? Have you heard the other side of that, which is the compliment battle rap?
I have.
Okay, so that's what drew me in. So it's the same thing as a battle rap, but it's you're just complimenting each other back and forth, and it's amazing.
It's pretty good.
Is there like a separate league for this? I don't understand. Is it just like Grind Time? Like they got tired of what they were doing and said, you know what? Let's just start saying like nice stuff
Let's
about
be
the
nice.
Other people.
Yeah.
Or is it like a complete
separate?
We've slipped
enough people into depression, but now we really want to uplift.
There isn't another league for it, not that I know of, but occasionally like two buddies that may be really good and they want to battle each other, but they don't want to degrade one another. They'll choose to make it a compliment battle where it –
that sounds more difficult.
It can be.
Oh, man. I know that beforehand you were like, as long as I don't have to, like, rhyme anything on the show, then I'm good. So I'm not going to, like – but I'm so interested
like,
in this because
well, so
I just –
so
is it like
if,
someone
know, if people want to know, Dan, like, who's somebody you would point them to look up on YouTube? Like, who is a guy? Like, is it, like, Roan or – Like, who's the guy that you like?
So this is something that comes up quite often when I'm kind of explaining battle rap to people. And there are definitely a few guys out there that are very sort of user-friendly for a beginner. So I would say Roan.
Yeah.
Roan is definitely a good example. Fresco. Fresco's a good example.
Okay.
Or maybe even Pat Stay. He's very popular.
Are the same people who are good at, like, the slam rap the same people who are good at the compliment rap?
Yeah, more or less.
So is it like when you're talking about compliment battle, like battle rap, is it things like, I know that you're here to get a bunch of attacks, but I really have to tell you that I'm digging your slacks. Is it like that? Or is it like like something like that digs a little bit deeper? Or is it like all surface level, like, hey, I really like your hair? Or
if you've noticed, Andrew hasn't been talking much this episode, it's because he's been crafting that one line this entire he's just been writing it out.
I didn't know there was such a thing as complimentary rap until Luke said it a second ago.
Let me say something that strikes me that I see as a good thing. I've been listening to a few interviews from Michael Beirut this past week, and he's a part of Pentagram Studio in New York. He was the president of AIGA at one time, stuff like that. In one of his interviews, he was talking about how important as a designer it is to have thick skin, especially in the world now, because you're going to put a design out there and then people are just going to start trashing it on Twitter or something like that. You know, it's like very casual. And how you need to have the thick skin to be able to do the work you know you should be doing and not succumb to that stuff that's around you. So I kind of almost feel like that would be a benefit for you, like, now in your design career. Not to mention, I'm sure you could draw some correlation between having to think quick and make snap judgments, and that could also be a benefit as well. So am I, like, totally overreaching
on
this right now?
I think it all plays in. And this kind of goes back to when I want to do my first talk. And maybe I'll talk to Mike Jones about bringing this to Creative South. I want to talk about how being a rapper can set you up to be a successful designer. Just being an independent, and this goes back to the idea of just pulling up your bootstraps. But that thick skin, that's a very good point. Like,
right.
You literally have to sit up there in a crowd full of hundreds of people and allow someone to insult you publicly. So if that doesn't break you down, then I don't know any client much tougher than that.
Yeah. I was going to say, so you can, by the time you get done with that, you can handle any client who's like, I I don't like those colors, or I don't like that font choice or something like that. You're like, okay, whatever. This guy just lambasted me and my whole family last night, so I'm good.
You just have to be careful not to, like, you know, start spitting back at your clients.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
sure.
In that, rhyme.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question then. So you've got a degree, and we ask this question to anybody who some iteration of this question to anybody who's got a degree in the graphic arts or in the fine arts world. What would you say is the most beneficial thing that you got out of going to school? And then what would you say is the thing that, like, you know what? Regardless of what happened in school, this is the one thing I learned, like, the day that I was out.
Oh, wow. Great question. So the one thing that you carry on. Okay. So I couldn't say that it's like anything too specific that I learned in a class or typography or web design. I think it's just more of the overall journey and the experience that you have there. I think you learn a lot about yourself because now you're sort of out of high school. You don't have to be there anymore. So you're really going to make of it what you want to get out of it. And maybe some people are still not sure that they want to be in design or they want to be in any major that they're picking. So they might half-ass it and they might slack. But when you get there and if you feel confident and you really want to be there, I think you'll learn a lot about yourself. And then if you can carry that on to your career, then even better.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like, when you would you recommend to people who are trying to determine, because they, let's say they're in high school right now, they're listening to this, or they're a young adult and they're listening to this, and they have a copy of Photoshop that they got, or they have a copy of Illustrator or something like that, or they've worked in InDesign before. and they're like on the fence, like, do I want to go into design? Do I want to just jump after it and be self-taught? Or do I want to go to college and do this? Would you recommend someone who's in that boat
absolutely
to go to college?
Yeah, without a doubt. And not just because it's going to look great on your resume. But again, yeah, it kind of just goes back to the journey and being self-taught's great. I mean, there's so many resources out there that you can find and I use them every day because I want to continue to learn. So there's probably more available out there than what you might learn in school, but yeah, it's that journey, man. You gotta take the trip. Definitely.
You know, it's so funny is not the right word, but it is interesting to me, like thinking of Mightier Than Co, thinking of kind of like the brand around that and the imagery that's put with that. And then the idea of like, definitely go to school and like give the professors exactly what they want. It almost feels like slightly conflicting. Like it's because if I just saw your brand and I didn't know anything about you, then I'd have been like, you know, this guy hates authority and he just wants to
anti-establishment.
So it's, I don't know. It's somehow not expected, but I think it's great advice. I mean, what you're saying falls very much in line with my thoughts on the subject.
Well, think of it this way. If I could sort of realize that early on and say, okay, this is what's going to get me best in show, or this is going to get me a good grade, you're really just sort of, you're almost working with clients at that point. So a lot of times you got to give them what they want because they have certain business requirements or they have already brand guidelines that you have to stay within. So if anything, that just kind of comes down to being a good communicator and sort of being empathetic to what the user's going to want and what your clients need. So, but I guess that also sort of falls back to the idea of, you know, even Mightier Than the Sword is its own sort of contradiction. So you have your pen and you have your sword. So there's always going to be those two sides that you have to balance.
You said some man, we're going to run out of time. I already feel like we're going to run out of time. But you mentioned communication. You mentioned empathy. When dealing with a client, do you have a trait you lean on the most heavily?
Sure. I mean, my philosophy is empathy is really the most important tool that we have as designers. I think, and I didn't realize that I had it until much later on, but if I can sort of take myself out of my own ego and put myself in the shoes of the end user or the client, I think you're sort of one step closer to having a great product or a great design, and your work may be technically amazing, or you can be an insane illustrator and that's cool and all, but are you really communicating the right idea that you need to get across? So, and that goes down to like why my work is so different, because I'll have like UX and UI and all my digital side of things, but the reason I started Mightier Than was because I needed something a little bit more edgy to work on, where I didn't have to stay within the rules or confined by any one client. So it's almost like my sort of 80-20 life balance, where I can get to go and work on some cool shit that I know my friends are going to like, and then the day job is always going to be the day job.
Yeah,
so that actually transitions perfectly into my final question. So we'll shift to final questions. We want to be aware of your time and keep this bite-sized. So I'll ask mine. So you do have a day job. This isn't what you're doing full-time yet. But my question is, when you're developing products, what is the process that you go through? Because you've got several products on your page. It's not like you've got three or four. You've got a good amount of products on there. When you're doing the next product, the research, how much research goes into what the right thing is? What is the thought process that goes into rolling out the next thing? And not just what the slogan or what the design might be, but the actual physical product. Like what does that process look like for you as
sure.
You're developing your store?
Well, it's super informal right off the bat. Like I rely on process pretty heavily doing UI and UX. But when it comes to Mightier Than stuff, it's really just sort of raw inspiration and gut feeling. And if I want to do this, if I want to do that, pretty much come up with maybe two dozen designs and bounce them off my friends. And we've got like awesome Slack group and Facebook group where I knew I wanted to do enamel pins, right? And okay, I've got budget to have four of them manufactured. So I had about 20. So let's see what you guys think about this. And I'll poll the masses, and they're really the audience for it because most of them are designers. And it was pretty on par with what I thought they might like. And maybe I've swapped out one or two here and there. But at the end of the day, that's about as formal as the process gets. Even with some of the shirts, you end up finding out that some definitely sell more than others. And I couldn't be too confident in predicting that up front. I think it just took a little bit of getting them out there in the world and seeing what sold and what didn't.
Yeah, makes sense.
All right, well, I'm going to steal it away. But I want to ask a mini question. Is it stressful? Like, you made the comment that you designed four other designers. Do you, like really take the burden of that? Of, like, I have to be the cool to these cool people?
I think it could be if you sort of focused on that and let it get to you. But at the end of the day, I'm really doing it for myself and the designs that I'd want to wear and sort of fall in within the aesthetics that I like. And I feel that there are enough people out there that are like-minded that would appeal to. So, yeah, no, I don't let it bother me too much.
Nice.
All right, so my final question, looking through your product, and there's a couple specifically that stand out to me. I know Luke is a huge fan of the Excalibur. I personally am a huge fan of, oh my gosh, what's this one? It looks like the pen tool with like an eye in the middle of it and stuff. I don't know what you call it.
The all-seeing nib?
Oh, the all-seeing nib, okay. But going through like these products, do you have one that is, I guess, particularly special to you or that has a story behind it?
Sure. Let's see.
Because this is the one that every listener listening right now is going to go purchase.
Yeah, like if I only buy one thing, what's the thing?
For me, I think the Excalibur lapel pin is probably one of my favorites because it sort of just embodies the whole idea behind the brand in one. And it's also tattooed on me forever. So, and there was a bit of commitment there behind that idea 3 years ago when I thought of it. And then it took me two more years to actually get my stuff together and want to start Mightier then. But, you know, that really captures it, the two crossed up sort of battling one another.
Yeah, very cool.
I think
cool.
I have that one. Did I get that one from you when we were at Creative South, or did I just say, hey, I want to get that one and then never get it? Because I don't see
I
it.
I think I hooked
pins.
You guys up with the all-seeing pen tool patch.
Yeah, the patch.
That's what it was. Yeah, but I wanted to come back and get that, and I was going to ask you when we recorded, and then we ended up not recording. All right, so yep. I guess I'm just going to have to order it online. That's fine.
All right. So all right, my Luke, last question. It's you. So you talked about like this 80-20 idea. Is there – and you know, how you're working through getting ideas from people. Is this a business that is like the end goal? Do you want to be doing this full time, or is this just like an outlet for you?
Yeah, great question. I get that one a lot from my friends and family. For me at this point, it's so much fun doing it. The idea of turning it into like a huge business almost kind of sours the idea of where it is right now. And I feel like possibly creativity and stuff will stop coming to me if I take it too serious as a business. So pretty much at the level it is right now, I'm pretty content. Who knows? But if it takes off, quite a bit more in the future, you never know. I'll never say never. Put it that way.
Sure. Yeah. I like that idea of kind of being protective of the – not the boutique-ness of it. But, I mean, would you consider this a boutique business? I mean, it's kind of – I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
What you call it. But that, anyway, I like the idea of kind of
– Boutique's not edgy enough, Andrew.
Sorry. It's, you know, an edgy boutique. I don't know. I like the idea of kind of protecting – what you've got right now, because what you've got is still completely within the realm of the, like, the brand and what you're trying to put out there and what you're trying to promote. And I think that's a wise choice to be not necessarily scared, but just to be aware of the fact that if it gets too much bigger, that it might infringe on some of like the very core nature of the business. So I think that's something to that's wise to think through. I think people just always mm-hmm. think scale, 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 and that that means success. But if your brand, if it actually suits your brand better to be smaller so that it can be more curated, then maybe that's actually the right choice. So I think that's a, it's a good thing for people to think about. All right, so tell everybody where they can find find you, and they can get stuff from you, and they can
absolutely
follow you and all
so,
that stuff.
So you can find everything Mightier Than related on mightierthan.co. We're also Mightier Than Co. on all of our social media outlets, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And then if you'd like to reach out to me personally, I'm at danduarte.com, or you can email me at dan@danduarte.com. Can't forget that. And yeah, on that website, you could actually see my digital portfolio and a lot of the stuff I work on day to day. But Mightier Than Co. is the cool stuff that I think you guys might like. So check us out.
That's awesome, man. So I'm really excited for people to go and see your work, because I think a lot of the people who listen to this show will really gravitate to this. And it's really well priced too. It's not like it's so extravagant. I mean, you're looking at like $9 for a pin and like $18 or $20 for a shirt. These are good. This is good stuff. So go out there, pick it up. It's great. And would you do us a favor and draw tokens for us to help us find out exactly what we're going to be talking about next week?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Well, that's it for the interview portion. Up next, we're going to draw some tokens.
Baron Fig has done it again. So this month, they are kicking off their new Kickstarter campaign for their latest tool for thinkers. They are releasing their minimal backpack, their messenger bag, and their tote bag. It is the world that their already amazing notebooks and pens can now live in. So they've taken these common pieces, like I think most of us, you know, use a backpack or a messenger bag, and they've just honestly just rethought them from the ground up in a similar way to their notebooks and pens, where they employ, you know, the minds of hundreds of people, find out what they love, what they use, and then iterate on that. They have talked to people all throughout the community. They've taken that feedback. They've melded that with their quality construction and their just love for making a good product. And they've produced from the ground up these amazing new pieces. So the backpack, much like the notebooks, is lay flat. It actually unzips completely. It has some hidden pockets. It has these, this is probably my favorite part, it has these side pockets where while it's still on your shoulder, you can just swivel it around, and you can access a side pocket to you know, put your phone in or your wallet, keys, things like that. They all will hold up to a 15-inch laptop. They also have the messenger bag. Again, it's the same type of construction, the cotton strap, they're canvas bags. It will also hold a laptop. It has some hidden pockets, so you can, kind of store things away. And then finally, the tote bag. And they've kind of changed the shape from the traditional tote bag because they want you to be able to hold a lot of stuff, but in the smallest design possible, something that's still manageable. And again, same quality construction, cotton straps, canvas material, really nice high-quality hardware. So these pieces are all in the Kickstarter campaign. You can get them now. They do have early bird specials. You'll want to jump on those. And in addition to that, they have an exclusive product you can only get if you back the Kickstarter campaign, and that is the Light Bulb Squire. So they have items, they have bundles available, they have the early bird specials. Jump on now, pick yours up, go to mofonepodcast.com/bag to get yours today.
The tokens portion of every week is when we figure out the categories that we have to use to pick our topics. And so since Dan's here, I'm going to take our tokens. I'm shuffling them up. They're in front of me face down. You're going to give me a number between 1 and 3, and this will go for Luke. Go ahead.
All right. Let's go with number 2.
Luke is number 2. Toys and games. Congratulations,
nice.
Luke.
That's the right one.
You did it. Okay, between 1 and 2, you'll be picking 4, Patrick.
Oh, boy. 1.
TV and film.
All
that
right.
means I am art and design. It. That's 2 weeks in a row. That's amazing. Congratulations. Hey, Dan, thank you so much for chatting with us. You can find this all the show notes and links to the stuff we talked about in this episode on mofonepodcast.com. On there, you can also find an archive full of a ton of other amazing artists, entrepreneurs, doers, thinkers, creatives who are just getting it done. And so hop on there and listen. We've got about 3 years worth of interviews on there. So go check it out now. On there, you can also sign up for our Slack channel. You've heard Dan talk about Slack. We talk about Slack every single week because we believe that community is the best thing that we have going for us. And so go to mofonepodcast.com/Slack to join that community now. There's just under 200 creatives who talk day in and day out in there. It's just a great place to share ideas and just connect with people, especially if you work in a studio all day by yourself. So it's a great place to find community. You can also find us on M of One Podcast on all the different socials. We're there. We want to connect with you throughout the day. Find us on iTunes and Stitcher where you can subscribe. When you do that, we come twice a week, every single week. It's a great time. Go ahead and do that. We have another incredible interview next week. We have this whole month is great with interviews, the people who are going to be on. So subscribe now so you don't miss an episode. And then when you do that, Patrick, what do you do next?
You rate and review. It just takes you a few, seconds, maybe minutes. Could be 30 minutes or an hour, depending on how non-proficient you are, but it helps us a lot, and we'll read whatever you say on the air.
Yeah, it costs you very little.
And it'll get stored in the cloud. And synergy.
And then finally, we have our Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/M of One Podcast. That is how you can support the show financially. All of this stuff that we do costs money. And so if you want to help us out for $1, you can become a patron. For $5 a month, for less than the cost of, a venti latte from Starbucks, you can be a part of our blooper level, and we'll send out some fun stuff every single month to you. And there's some other exclusive stuff for all of our patrons. So hop on to Patreon and check that out now. But other than that, I think we're going to get out of here. This has been a good one. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Luke.
And I'm Dan.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.
Later. I'm spitting with the venom to your soul through flesh and denim. I kill every opponent with the message that I send them, and I leave them with no heart beating, the lungs breathing. The last always questioning the demon they believe in, forcing me to start kicking mental martial arts, piercing their hearts with all these metaphorical darts. Make use of this verbal abuse and call a truce, because the verse hurts worse and works quick as a noose. Stop fighting, you are in my mouth, I'll stop running. Some sort of sword, but the thoughts kept coming. The last man who tried, but he died in his sleep. I can't believe what I was saying, put him 6 feet deep. Diagnosed with the overload, flow to his brain. I guess the truth that I told him must have drove him insane. Any rough, could pull the trigger, but I'm bigger. The poison lyrics make you sick, quick up the liquor. Go blast your gun, I'ma be the one who'll be yelling victory when all is said and done, son. Now I'm battling my wars, with chords and metaphors. Lord knows the pen's mightier than the sword. Arm of my thoughts in the almighty force. For sure the pen's mightier than the sword. Destroy the flesh, put the core within dawn. Of course the pen's mightier than the sword.
You're listening to the Spandox section of
Spandex.
Spandox sectionals.
You're listening to a sandbox episode of the Master of One Podcast.
A sandbox part two episode?
What about the sandbox episode? Okay. Part two.
You're listening to the sandbox episode of the Master of One Podcast. Part two for this
weird.
Week. This
Isn't
week,
it like,
we talked to...
Hey, what? This is Andrew.
Isn't it normally you're listening to the Master of One Podcast?
No.
Oh, I'm listening last week. So you're doing
really
it wrong.
Different
you're
normal.
Doing something wrong. So hold on. Let me listen to last week's. 1 second. Here we go.
Who has the script in front of them? Who has the script?
It's not you. Here it is. Your almighty force, for sure, the pen's mightier than the sword. Destroy the flesh, put the core in the dawn. Of course, the pen's mightier than the sword.